there's an old story about, it's a traditional story for children, typically told for children in Hawaii, and it's called the Bowl of Light. And the idea here is that every child learns this story that they are born with a bowl of light. And that bowl of light is perfect and whole and clear and radiant as you might imagine it to be. And the child, being in their natural state, is full of light. But as life goes on Earth, different things happen. There might be a time that the child begins to feel resentful about something, or jealous, or envious, or angry. And every time the child has these experiences, a stone gets put in that bowl of light. And you see, the two are mutually exclusive. The light can't get through. The stone is so solid. And so over time, there are so many stones in that bowl that the child can actually become like a stone, solid, impermeable, unmovable. The only way for the light to get through again is for the child to take that bowl and completely empty it. And then when they turn it over again, there they are, that full stream of radiant light once again. So this is for us, of course, on our journey to remember that it's time to empty our bowl. It's time to let the light come through again. This season, we haven't really spent a lot of time on this season because we've been traveling through all these faiths in the last 10 weeks, but we've been in the Lenten season for a while. And in the Christian tradition, the Lenten season is about a time of fasting and a time of prayer. It's spiritual preparation for Easter. The 40 days, not counting Sundays, that lead us up into that great resurrection time, that time of joy, that time of light. Yet we're not quite there yet. I know it's always where we want to go, especially in unity. We tend to have a tendency to really relish in the joy and the light and the love. And it's not that it goes away. It's just that there's a time for everything, right? A season and a rhythm for everything. And right now, it's emptiness. Right now, it's that stripping away time. It's that time of fasting and prayer. And it could be fasting, like not eating food. And it could be fasting in the way that we understand it as metaphysicians. In fact, that's the way that Charles Filmer, our co-founder, talks about it. He says, as metaphysicians, this time of fasting is a time of fasting or abstaining, if you will, from error thinking is what he calls it. We often call it limited thinking. So it's when we think of ourselves as not worthy or not enough or not safe, you know, we trounce out all those core beliefs, those false core beliefs, all those ideas or thoughts that don't help us, or patterns of judging and complaining and those kinds of things that get us off course of the light, the bowl of light that we are. So today we're going to empty the bowl. That's part of our preparation for where we are now in this process toward that joy of Easter, in this process toward that light breaking through. And if you think about it, it's very much where we are as a society right now. We're not at the breakthrough point. We can feel that there could be one, that there is one, that there is a rebirth coming, but it's almost like, wow, we're barely pregnant. There's time here. There's a gestation time. And there's a season for everything. So this is where we find ourselves now. You know, at first it might seem like emptiness doesn't come naturally to us. In fact, there might even be a little bit of a emptiness. I don't want to go there. I already feel whatever you might be feeling. Maybe you're feeling a little isolated right now, or maybe you're feeling lonely, and the idea of adding emptiness to it is the last thing you think you could possibly want or need. But stick with me here, because I think there's some real gems of a gift when we move into emptiness together. So in our culture and in our New Thought teachings, it feels really this idea of emptiness feels almost counterintuitive or counter to. in our culture and also in our New Thought teachings, there's an idea of abundance, right? That there is, that more is better, essentially, which we know is just a myth, but there is that underlying idea, certainly fed in our culture over and over, faster is better, more is better, more stuff, more power, more control. Well, we see where that's gotten us. It's not working out so well, is it? And so now we have an opportunity to strip away, to take a look, to see what really does work for us. That's one of the gifts that emptiness is offering us. So in our New Thought teaching, the third principle in unity anyway is co-creation. This idea that we are working to manifest, to decide what it is that we want in our lives. Sometimes we're coached to be really specific about what it is that we want in our lives and to really move our energy toward and our thinking and our intention toward that which we want to bring forth, that which we want to become, that which we want to allow ourselves to fully move into. Well, that's the becoming teachings, and they're an important part of our spiritual teachings, but right now, it's about being. It's really important that we know when it is to be in the teaching of beingness and when it is to be in the teachings of becomingness. They're really not so separated, because when we be, we sort of strip away and we see who we are. But it's not an adding to, if you will. It's a subtracting. It's an allowing. It's a stripping away. It's like we're on a collective worldwide fast. Whether we like it or not, we're on this collective worldwide fast from all the ways of being that we're used to, all the fast ways of being that we're used to, the driving and the moving about, the comings and goings of life. And sometimes, the culture and the co-creation teachings can get, the co-creative teachings can get exacerbated by that kind of make it happen, fast moving, more is better kind of culture that we have. I was taught early on in New Thought teachings, I remember early in a class, I heard this, nature abhors a vacuum. You might have heard this before too. And so it was almost like, hurry up and fill the void, right? So nature abhors a vacuum, so you better fill it. You better come up with what you want. You better get specific about what you want and start affirming that so that you can bring that forth, because otherwise, God knows what it's going to be filled with. It was almost like there was the fear driving behind that idea, this nature abhors a vacuum. I don't think nature abhors anything. Not so sure that that was a truth teaching that I want to move forward with. In fact, when I think about nature, how much nature provides in terms of the teachings of beingness and natural rhythm, I don't know, it feels like something else to me is wanting to be shown to us by nature. I think about the desert, the dryness of the desert, the arid environment of the desert. It's a wonder how anything could possibly grow in that barren landscape. But yet, if you've been in the desert, especially in the spring, you've probably had this experience where it can be, really far out from where you are, across a very barren, muted beige and green, kind of a little bit of green maybe, kind of environment, a lot of rocks and those kinds of grays and beiges, and then all of a sudden you might see fuchsia, some really bright, beautiful, hot pink kind of flower, and there's this stunning experience. There's a surprise at the beauty, at what could possibly grow out of all this emptiness, out of all this dryness, out of all this arid kind of space. And that's you, that flower. That's what comes out of the practice of Lent, the allowance of emptiness, the beingness. That we become, that's the becoming, that's the allowing, that's the opening, that's what begins to show, is the beauty. And it's delightful. It's a surprise usually for us. It's something that grabs our attention. So if we can become ourselves like the desert, right now. If we ourselves can allow ourselves to be barren to or abstain from that, the kind of false thinking that Charles Fillmore points us to the ideas of unworthiness or the idea that we are not safe, the big one that we're separate from God or separate from each other. If we can allow the warmth of the sun, of the true light, to just dry that up, that old way of thinking, that old way of being or feeling. And let the winds blow, you know, let the winds blow away the resentments and the criticisms and the judgments and those old ways of being. Just let ourselves be arid for a while. Really, for once. For some of us, it's a for once. Let's just relax into that. Let's just sit in the quiet of the desert. Because the flower will come, the blossoming of our consciousness, the truth of who we are, it will come. The resurrection's going to come. The light's going to come. Easter is still going to be here. And the Easter experience of our lives will still be available to us. But there's time for everything. And right now it's this. So it's kind of, you know, if you think about it, it's kind of like heartbreak. We can all relate to that, right? Every human has a time when pain comes knocking on the door in one form or another, when there is a sense of loss of something that we loved so dearly, when there's a sense of letting go of something that we didn't want to let go, where we're, you know, holding fast to something or someone that we love, and it's not in our control, right? It slips through our fingers. So when that happens, there might be, and there usually is for most of us, a period of grief, a period of tears. I don't know about you. I remember one time in particular when I was really grieving, and every morning I was waking up, it was the end of a relationship, crying or feeling sad. And one day, out of the blue, I mean, I couldn't control it. I couldn't decide. I couldn't manifest or affirm my way out of that. I just had to allow it. But one day I just woke up and I wasn't sad anymore. What I did feel was empty. And there was just a period of time where there was just emptiness. I felt alone. I felt alone in my house. I felt like the hallways were empty and the hallways of my mind and my heart and my life were empty. I wasn't sure who I was now or what I wanted, what was next. Maybe you can relate to that kind of thing, that kind of empty-handedness. There's a gift in there. Daniel Namod shares it with us in this song. So we're going to head over to Daniel's studio and listen to this song now called Empty Hands.
When my hands were emptied, when my hope was gone, I couldn't help but wonder what had I done wrong. But even though my heart was broken, there was no need to despair. 'Cause a vessel must be open to put something better there. Oh yeah. Into my empty hands, gently you pour new life for me. Yours is a perfect plan. The ups and the downs were meant to to be. Now I understand you needed my empty hands. So forgive me when I doubt it. I admit sometimes I do. Or consider giving up, 'cause I cannot see the truth. I know I'll never go without your deep and abiding love. Oh, love into my empty hands. Gently you pour new life for me. Yours is a perfect plan. The ups and the downs were meant to be. Now I understand you needed my empty hands. Gently pour new life for me. Yours is a perfect plan. The ups and the downs were meant to be. And I cannot help but cry to think of the gifts you've given. Now I understand you needed my empty hands. Oh, thank you for my, thank you for my.
Now I understand you needed my empty hands. I love that. I also like where he says, a vessel must be open in order to put something better there. So that's us now. You know, when I was preparing this talk and in the early stages, thinking about what did I need to say, where are we now? I was kind of surprised that I got this title, and it was like a directive, which is unusual too, and it was empty my cup. And you know, sometimes as we do, I was arguing with Spirit a little bit about it, you know, trying to massage it a little bit and, well, let's make it a little bit more of a doing or an inclusive thing. So how about let's empty our cup, you know? Nope. It was really clear, empty my cup. Which is really interesting because it was like I was being told what to pray, you know, and not so much ask and it will be given, but I'm going to tell you what you need to pray. Here's your prayer, and this is where we're headed, you know, asking to be emptied. I'll tell you what to ask even. It feels like in a way we're in this stage, like I don't usually talk about us in terms of being children of God, and God is sort of this parental figure. But it seems to be working pretty well right now to think of it that way. It's as if, you know, a higher authority is clearly in charge, and we are clearly not in charge. And so, empty my cup. All right, let's go with it. I'm not going to argue. I've learned not to argue with spiritual authority. And now here we are, you know, living according to the authority of our health professionals and our scientists and our government leaders to say, look, folks, this is what you need to do. And it's not just a recommendation, it's an order. In fact, we got a lot of orders that we're working with right now, and they have spiritual implications for us, spiritual gifts to offer us within them. The first order, of course, as you can see right here, stay at home. Stay at home. Stay at home. Right? So when we stay here, when we ground here, when we stay at home, this is a place where we get everything we need, you know? We know that it's okay. This is where we find love. This is where we find connection. This is where we even find service. It's where we find wisdom. All of our core values at Unity, they live here in this place of home. And so this is our touch point. This is our grounding place. And then the other order, you know, the only thing that can stay open are the essentials. Otherwise, everything's closed down. No business that is non-essential. Wow, well, you know, the climate change folks have been trying to tell us this for a long time. You know, stay on the ground. Stop traveling so much. Don't travel unless it's absolutely necessary. I always respect Lisa and Tyler around this, that they don't fly because of climate change, because of the carbon emissions. You know, you find another way. Maybe it's inconvenient, but you find another way. But, you know, we all had too much to do to listen to that. We had places to go and people to see and things to do. We had long lists of things that must be done by us until we can't. And then, turns out we could find another way. Turns out we found lots of other ways. Look at us here, having church together like this. I would have never dreamed this, even weeks ago. And maybe you wouldn't have either. But we are so adaptive as human beings, you know? We have that gift of adaptability. And so it is when we strip away what isn't essential that we can really see what is. Now we see, you know, when we have a directive that hits home like this, that relates to our own health and the health of our loved ones, now we can see what is essential. It's a shorter list by far, right? It's our health and the health of those we love and the health of all life. And it's our relationships. And it's the basics, our nutrition, our water. Just the basic things we need. I feel relieved in a way. I'm not glad that we're going through what we're going through by any stretch in terms of the pandemic. But in terms of the benefits, in terms of the effects, there's some shift that's happening in all of us. And this is what we're called into, right? Or pushed into in this case, to shift our consciousness, to become like that barren desert or that open naked tree in the wintertime, to just look and see and really become clear on what matters. Focus there and let the rest fall away. So this empty my cup thing, it's been big. You know, the soul does not grow by addition, but by subtraction, Meister Eckhart said. That's one of my favorites. The empty cup may be a dream, not a grandiose prayer so much, this empty my cup. It's not based on some kind of grandiose dream. It's simplicity. So we were ordered to stay home, and we were ordered to only stay open, only keep open those things that were essential. And we've been ordered to simplify, essentially, you know, like Nasruddin tells the beautiful stories he tells, the Sufi stories. He's a common character in Sufi stories. And, you know, he's sitting there eating his chickpeas and bread, his usual dinner, and his neighbor comes over, who's also considered a wise man, and says, Nasruddin, why are you eating such a poor man's dinner, chickpeas and bread? He says, you could be eating a grandiose, the greatest. You could be living in a palace like me and eating sumptuous dinners every night if you would only be subservient to the emperor, if you would only do what he wants and say what he wants. Then you could be eating like me. And Nasreddin says, yeah. And if you would only eat chickpeas and bread, you wouldn't have to be subservient to the emperor. It's all a matter of what matters to us. And it's a time to get clear on that. In fact, in a way, we've been ordered to do so. So we might as well go with it and take it inside and see what is there for us. What is essential? What really matters to us? Would we rather be subservient to the emperor or eat a simpler dinner? And all the ways that that metaphor can move through your life and through the ideas that are key for you, the ways of being, the practices. There's another order to go outside. Well, it's not really an order, but this one is more of a suggestion. But to go outside into the spacious awareness, into the spaciousness and the beauty of nature. We're told that virus doesn't really spread so much outside. And so as we keep that 6-foot physical distancing, we can be outside and doing some of the things we love and getting fresh air and allowing ourselves to be completely rejuvenated. You know, I was talking earlier about the like winter time when the trees become naked and you can see the forest through the trees. I have a big mulberry tree out in front, and it was so heavy with leaves that it was shading the whole house, which was wonderful, but like half the house was covered up by these leaves, and the arborist said it's probably a good time to cut back. And so they cut out a bunch of the branches and took away all the leaves, and suddenly it was a naked tree, a completely different tree. And one day I was sitting on my meditation bench in our meditation and yoga temple, and I looked out the window, and for the first time I saw this little face on the bottom of one of the branches. It was like I felt into and really saw the spirit of the tree. I can see the tree spirit of the mulberry tree now. It's the same with us. As we empty, as we let go, as we strip away, the true spirit of us gets revealed. We don't have to make that happen. We don't have to create anything. We don't have to make a vision board about that. Just let it happen. Just be, just allow, shed, let go, like the trees. And then there's been the order to, of course, wash our hands. And so we've been having fun with that, adding songs to that, adding joy to that. And so our good hygiene is now spiritualized and made fun through these songs. So you're going to be hearing different songs along the way. I've been doing Every Little Cell in My Body is Happy. And I noticed that John Shin recorded that for us. So we're going to get to hear that, I think, next week. So it's part of that ritual though, right? So when we wash our hands, we're purifying, we're letting go, we're allowing. It's more of this same idea, getting down to what is essential. Releasing the germs releases the germ-like thoughts, releases the things that don't serve us. So I don't know about you, but my cup, it's empty now. And I want to offer that prayer to you during this pandemic. Empty my cup. What we'll find there is openness. What we find there is receptivity. What we find there is a sense of freedom. Let's know that together as we move together through this time. If that speaks to you, let it be your prayer too. And let's affirm together. My cup is empty. I am open, receptive, and free. And so it is, and so you are, and so it is so wonderful to be with you.